Hey everyone, this is Jordan from New St. Andrews College. I just want to invite you to join us for our upcoming Perspective Student Weekend, which is from April 13th to 16th. This is the same weekend as the Grace Agenda Conference, so if you're headed over to Moscow for that, you can register your visit also for the Perspective Student Weekend at nsa.edu. Two great events, graceagenda.com and your Perspective Student Weekend here at NSA. Hope to see you there and enjoy the podcast.
Hi, I'm Steve Dace. So if you're looking for a summer worldview camp, this is the place to be. July 16th through the 20th, we're going to encourage your kids to become the next generation of cultural leaders. We've got pastors like Douglas Wilson, filmmakers, cultural critics and commentators like myself and Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Sign up at calledconference.ninja. Again, Moscow, Idaho, July 16th through the 20th, calledconference.ninja.
This is chapter 5 in the case for classical Christian education, and I want to begin with a quote from how I begin this chapter. Despite our dire educational circumstances, many Christians still believe there's hope for the government school system. Their efforts in trying to restrain the moral corruption of the government schools today have been heroic. While I want to argue for the moral necessity of removing Christian children from these schools, I want to do so with the recognition that Scripture does not list a sin called sending one's children to a public school. Many of the Christians who are involved in trying to save the government schools are very much aware of the practical problems, but they think that there's somehow if we just organize or mobilize or get local control or more parents involved, we can somehow turn this thing around. But there are some problems with this. The government schools, I say, are a central and essential part of the American civil religion, and the remaining commitment to it is largely a matter of religious allegiance. If one were to attack waste in a minor part of the Department of Agriculture and go so far as to argue for the elimination of the entire program, the cheers would be loud in many quarters. But while criticism of the government schools is standard, that criticism does not go so far as to urge the elimination of the schools. In the ancient pagan world, belief in the gods usually died long before a willingness to dispense with the forms of worship. It is the same here. We no longer believe in the gods of education, but our commitment to their temples is still religious and very deep. And this is why Christians who serve another god must leave for the right reasons. They have to leave for the right reasons. Too often, Christians leave, they pull their kids out of the government schools because their child saw, there's one condom too many in the classroom, or there was one drug deal in the parking lot too many, or it's just not safe anymore. And while it's admirable to keep your children safe, and while it's admirable to not allow other people to corrupt them and so forth, reacting to certain bad incidents at the government school is not the same thing as having a biblical worldview. So let's say you had a bunch of Christians who had their kids were frightened because of fights or violence, or they saw a drug deal or whatever, and let's say a bunch of Christians reacted and pulled their kids out, and a bunch of them did it at the same time, and they got together and let's start a Christian school. Okay, let's start a school where there aren't drug deals in the halls. Let's start a school where there's not sexual corruption in the sex ed courses. Let's all do that. Well, they can have a parents meeting, and they can decide, they say, all right, let's open a school, and they rent a place. Well, they do this, but when the kids show up in August or September on the first day of school, you've got a teacher in that classroom, and he's going to be there for 8 hours that day, and he's going to be there for 9 months out of the year, and he's going to be there for the next 12 years. You have to have something to say, you have to say more than something like there are no drug deals in the halls, or this is not a sex ed course. Yeah, but you have to teach about history. You have to teach. You have to decide on a curriculum. You have to decide what you're going to say. So it's important. While I think that there are things to react to in the government school system, I don't think a simple reaction is the same thing as a biblical worldview. Reacting is not the same thing as acting on the basis of a thoroughgoing biblical understanding. One of the things that people react to is danger, as I've already mentioned. Another thing that they react to is academic incompetence. They want their kids to be literate, or they want them to be able to do math or whatever. But even here, even on matters of academic competence, I say the issues are worldview matters. We do not understand that our academic slide has occurred because it had to. We cannot reject the tree and continue to demand the fruit. The universe coheres because Christ is Lord, and there is no alternative center, no other arche on standby in case he fails. So the reason the world holds together, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, is that Jesus Christ is the one who holds all things together. All things cohere in him. And if you say, I want to be able to build a school without reference to whether or not Jesus is Lord, without reference to whether or not he rose from the dead, that's like saying, I want to be able to stack the bricks without using the mortar. The mortar is what holds it all together. The mortar is what makes the thing work. Jesus Christ is the mortar that holds the bricks of knowledge together. If you don't have that mortar, you can build your wall, but a child could push it over. Okay? Another thing that people react to is immorality. Sexual immorality in the government schools is rampant and expected. Drugs are common. Drinking and drunkenness are standard fare. Worse than this, many forms of the immorality are even encouraged in grotesque sex education classes. But, as stated earlier, a parent can recognize all these things and pull a child away from them and still not know the nature of a parent's duty in education. Okay, we have to have a firm grasp of what it is we're supposed to be doing, and that's different than a firm grasp of what it is that they're not supposed to be doing. So I can know that what the secularists are doing down there is that's bad, and they're promoting homosexuality, and they're promoting nihilism. They're promoting evolution. They're promoting all these things, and I can look at that and say, okay, none of that. I don't want any of that. But what does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with history? What does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with mathematics? What does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with English grammar? C.S. Lewis says somewhere that it's not, he uses the illustration, it's not so much that I believe in Christianity because I can see the light, as confessing that the Christian faith is the light in which he sees. So if you picture God and Jesus as the sun, being a Christian doesn't mean that you go out, get a lawn chair, and spend all your time staring at the sun. What it means is you spend your time going about your day-to-day activities, and everything you look at in the light the sun provides. So it's not staring at the sun, it's staring at the car and the road and the lawn and the chair, and you're looking at all these things in the light that the sun provides. And you don't put the sun out in order to study everything objectively. That's not studying anything objectively. That's called studying things in the dark. You want to understand that there has to be a point of integration of all knowledge. And in the government system of education, they don't have they don't acknowledge that. They quietly assume it. They quietly assume it in the will of the people, or what everybody knows, or best practices or whatever. But they don't have any firm arche. They don't have any integration point. They don't have an anchor to tie it all together. And Christians do, or rather, I'll put it this way: Christians should. Christians do have that anchor point. They do have that cornerstone. They do have that foundational reality in Jesus Christ. But they have to build on it. They have to grasp it. They have to see it by faith and see that the scriptures teach that. So the case against government schools is that they're godless. There are immorality issues. Yeah, there are academic incompetence issues. Yeah, your kid might be in danger there. Oh, those are all true, and those should be taken into account in their due place. But the fundamental problem with the schools is that they're godless. And someone might say, well, that's kind of a harsh term to use. Well, I'd prefer agnostic. Well, you could say, let's not use the Greek to form our word agnostic. Agnostic means you don't know. You don't know. Let's use the Latin form of it, which is ignoramus. It sounds much more impressive when you tell people that you're an agnostic than if you revert to the Latin and tell them, well, I can't say much about that. I'm an ignoramus. So when I say that the schools are godless, someone might say, and this goes back to what I believe we've touched on, the myth of neutrality. Someone will say, no, we don't. We just don't get into that. You know, we reserve judgment on it. So we'll teach the history class, and we don't tell your child one way or the other what to think about Jesus Christ. Well, that's not quite true, because it's not. In fact, it's not true at all. You're saying we're not saying anything one way or the other about whether Jesus died, was buried, rose again from the dead, but we are saying that whether he did that or not, whether Jesus is Lord or not, his lordship is irrelevant to what we're doing here in this classroom. We can do business here in this classroom as we do math and history and whatever. We can do business accurately and capably without reference to him. And that's what I dispute. I don't believe that a Christian can do anything without reference to God. I don't believe, Paul says, you know, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. That means if Paul's saying, if I go to McDonald's and order a combo meal and I have a packet full of fries, I'm supposed to eat those fries down to the last French fry to the glory of God. Now, if I'm supposed to eat the last French fry to the glory of God, then a fortiori, how much more should I be teaching history to the glory of God? Should I be teaching math to the glory of God? Should I be administering discipline in the school according to the glory of God? How much more should I be guiding and shaping and teaching and instructing the students in the light of Scripture? I think it's a moral imperative.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
Three kids at Logos, one at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about, because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.